He said, when I see the machine, any machine that bears the name Ford on it, he said, it is not about the machine. He said, it's a demonstration of the fact that my theories for doing business are correct. Let me put many words. That I'm trying to show men how to do business. This is how to work. In fact, there's one, well, I'm going to upload some of those quotes on our website. He said, anybody who says all men are equal, they are lying. I said, I wrote a tract about it long ago. In fact, Joe used to use it for evangelism. That's how men are equal. That is not true. And he began to explain what he meant. Oh God, I said, this man really knew God. The man had a concept of what he called a living wage. And he said, he's not paying people so much just because he wants to give away money. He calls it profit sharing. That if we all made this money together, we should all partake of it. You see all his principles. He said, running after money is not business. And any business founded upon the pursuit of money will not last long. The man never borrowed money from a bank. Because he said, for them, bankers are one strange group of people. That they put money first before business, before people. He said, it can't be money first. It has to be the business first. That money is a tool, just like the machine he has in the shops, they are tools. One of the tools for manufacturing is called money. That we don't make tools so we can make more tools. We make tools so we can make the product. That why do we judge all this in terms of money? So, say, I don't want the control of any bank. I refuse to take money from them. Now, I'm giving you an idea of some of the concepts he had in mind. So, he went out into business, and the business did so well. And he said to them, this is not about the machine we are making, but it is a demonstration of the fact that the theories we have for doing business are correct and the other people, they are wrong. Now, please, I'm going to something. That's what I want to discuss in our next program, our Seeds Season 2. That, listen, what God does, okay, is to give you, listen to this, He gives you the ability, the opportunity to demonstrate His wisdom. You know I said that. Now, who does He give that to? Those who have their feet shod with what? The preparation. That is, if God gives me this platform, this is what I want to demonstrate. Do you follow the point I'm making? That is, listen, when we're talking about waging war, I said there's a personal warfare, very important. It has to do with your faith. It has to do with your faith. Okay? And that there is a warfare in which you are taking over kingdoms for God. I studied all of them. I realized at the end of the day, basically, it's still the same weapons you use. Whether it's personal or you are aggressively trying to take over kingdoms from God. In fact, you discover that God is the one that changes seasons. He changes kings. I found out, therefore, that when the season comes for the manifestation of the child of God, listen, you know, if you notice, we kept on emphasizing the manifestation of the sons of God, the manifestation of the kings, of the lords, or when you will reach a particular point, because that is the only way by which God designed that Jesus will take over everything. Listen, He's not planning to change the mind of the unbeliever. Do you understand? What he said is that, kiss the son, lest he be angry. And then, since I can't change your mind, what do I do? You perish out of the way. That's his plan. Let me tell you something. God can be very vicious. What am I saying? When God is ready to lift his own person up, you know what? One day I read Psalm 75 again. I discovered, in fact, if you read from Jeremiah, read from that Psalm 75. You see that God does one thing. He doesn't lift up anybody until He has brought up somebody else. He brought down somebody else. Now, he said He lifts up one and brings out another. That's not what He said. He said He brings down one and He lifts up another. He said, Jeremiah, I have appointed you to uproot, to destroy, to scatter 4 points of destruction. He said, then to build and to plant. You first destroy everything. And then you begin to build a new order. What am I trying to explain? That when God is ready, there's nobody big enough to withstand his elevation of his kings and his lords. Do you follow the point I'm making here? But he said that when people are warring with me, one thing I need them to have is that preparation. That's what I want to discuss in that our seed season 2. Now, if you are going out to do business, what do you want to demonstrate? You want to do business ministry, what do you want to demonstrate? Is there any word that is guiding you, or if you're like, this business is selling now, another opportunity to make money? Please, I hope what I'm saying, I hope we are following. I hope we are following it. Now, so I'm building up this issue. So if it's a matter of responsibility. That thing I was saying earlier about the issue of the book I was writing, So Who Will Pay For This? On money matters. You know, I didn't finish talking about them. Just summarize and then leave it there. What I preach concerning money matters to Christians is, it is not sensible. I mean, it's childish. It is wrong. It's actually not godly that the motivation for a Christian giving is because he wants to get. When it comes to the matter of the gospel, this is the way you treat it. You just believe that if God has given the means and the opportunity to move this gospel forward, if I don't, nobody will. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? One person I heard teach that thing then, which really moved me. This was on TBN, and he was so different from everybody else. I said, oh, this is so nice. Miles Morrow. Everybody was saying, hey, plant a seed. Your breakthrough is coming. With this seed, you connect with heaven. With this seed, you break this. With this seed, when it was Miles Morrow's turn, the man took the microphone. He read from the scriptures and showed to us that the Roman soldiers, after that, the first people to witness the resurrection were not the disciples. It wasn't Mary. It wasn't that, it was the Roman soldiers who were present. They knew something happened. And when they went to go and report, the Pharisees and the high priest and all that, they said, wait, you're not going to repeat that. You are going to say something else. So they took plenty of money, the scripture said, and gave them to tell their story. That is, they went around preaching their own gospel, having been motivated by means. That it takes money to preach and broadcast your own gospel. He said, we are preaching the truth. Therefore, we need... No, when the man was through that, I said, this is gospel. He has planted responsibility in the hand of the Christians. He said, we, because we are preaching the truth, we will spend money also and use it to broadcast the truth that we are preaching. Please, I hope what I'm saying, you're getting this clear. Listen, let me say something to you again. There's one proverb I quote all the time. I said, a child that doesn't die must become an adult. That thing is so true when it comes to Christianity. Any person, listen, any child of God, now before I say that, God has ordained, there's a new material that came to my mind, I will develop later, God's story of your life. God has written his story concerning your life. Before you were born, he wrote his story. God already wrote down his own story concerning your life. Now listen to this. If you don't stumble along the way, stumbling now is from unbelief. Do you get my point? There is not possible that the ending that God wrote for your life would not be manifested. I don't know whether you heard me. Listen, one day I read a book. If I don't know which one of them, I know that, but I remember the day that revelation hit me. That when God looked at Abraham, he said, a father of many nations I have made thee. That if God speaks a word like that, it means that as you are sitting down there, you are a father of many nations. Now, I'm adding my own words of today to it. And if you progress in faith and in patience, you can't help it. The many nations will manifest. That day I was so excited. I remember in the evening, I went to go and visit one sister, one of my brethren from school. And I remember that day I was waiting. He was living with her brother. So he came downstairs. And she sat, there was a couch I was sitting on. And she sat on one end of the couch. I said, do you know, one day you are going to tell the story of this visit this evening. That this man, one day he sat on the same couch that I was sitting on. I said, come, shake my hand. She leaned over, shook my hand. I said, this handshake, you will tell the story. I said, this handshake, you will tell the story. I'm sure the girl was looking at me like,
Wasn't this guy chopped today? Because earlier that day, I had read a book. I remember I was sitting down. I read a book that showed me that, listen, my life is not average. And that indeed God is working on something. Ah! By the time I was through that day, actually I was looking for who to tell. Who was a believer around? So this was one person that I knew. So I borrowed my cousin's car, drove over to her house in the evening. How are you? I came to greet you so that you can tell the story on tonight's visit. Ah, that this man all of you are looking at. Ah, he used to come to my house. In fact, one particular evening, we sat on the same couch and he shook my hand that day and he told me that I'm going to tell the story about this handshake. Oh, the Lord is good. Believe me. Look, I wish you would get this point. The victory. I know Jesus has to do it because that is the only method he has outlined for achieving his own victory on the earth. He said those who are with him, they are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. So what the believer, look, listen, spiritual warfare is different from earthly warfare. Men of the earth, they go out to go and scheme. Where's our enemy weak? Leave that one to Satan. Do you get what I'm going to explain? Men of God, you understand my point now? People of God, what they do is, this land is our own. We have taken it. The fear of us is upon them. Oh God, I wish you would get what I'm not explaining. Because that's why as believers, try early in life to discover where you are supposed to focus your energy. Hallelujah. No, very important. Try early in life to discover where you are supposed to focus your energy. Because I have discovered the world system, what it tries to do, it will distract you. Believe me, I was reading all this story of economic crisis, global collapse, and all of that. I said, all they tried to do was to get men to turn their stones to bread, distract these people from focusing on what God wants them to do. Because if any Christian will focus, he said, this is the victory. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, you are an overcomer. The victory is faith. He said, be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The two things they use is what? Faith and patience. How do we protect our warfare? Not the way they do. Look, we know the land is ours. We know we have won. We know we are overcomers. So this is how we fight our own warfare. We settle down and say, good, let's wear our shoes. What's the issue? When we get there, what are we going to do? I don't know. Are you getting my point? That is, we get the strength to get there by determining at home what we do when we get there. When God chose Abraham, you know what he said? He said, I know him. I know what he's going to do. He will train his household and his descendants after him how to follow the principle of holiness and righteousness, so that I can manifest in fullness the plan that I have for his life. So other people are saying, how do I have this child? Hey, child, come. God said, wait. Just determine what you will do when he has come. Determine what you will do. He said, okay, when he will have come, I will teach him righteousness. Because it's very fine. You are wearing the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I have no choice but to open the door. Because listen to me, it's God that opens doors. You know what I told Judah of Israel? He said, I'll put the fear of you upon them. Before you arrive, they will run. You know why I said every Christian should labor to know where he's supposed to put his energy? It's because one of the things you do is you start having dreams of what you will do when God gives you the opportunity. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? Listen. As I did here today, God knows what I will do. Like, if God, let me use money 3 times because it's easy for us, all of us, to relate with money, all right? That's why Jesus used to talk a lot about grain and all of that. Let us assume now, the Lord said, Bank, I'm going to give you 200 million. Do you know, he knows what I'm going to do. He knows that it's not a matter of, let's assume that I will just finish preaching. When somebody will just give me a draft addressed to Kingdom World Ministries, God already knows what I'm going to do. He knows. In fact, the prayer I pray all the time, all right, when I pray, say, dear Lord, you know what I'm going to do. Is there anything that's not right so that we can correct it now? No, I said, Lord, you know what I am going to do. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? You already know what I'm going to do. I've told you, listen,
daydreaming, you know what I call daydreaming? Just lie down, cross your leg, just a fantasize. Should do it a few hours of the week. Yeah, you should. You should. You should. That's why I say you should know where you should pump your energy into. So you won't sit down and be daydreaming about when you become American president. You ain't going to be American president. Do you follow what I'm explaining? You're a Nigerian. So don't. That's not what I mean by daydreaming. I don't mean just wasting your time. I mean actually, really, in reality, preparing for what tomorrow will be like. Are you getting the point I'm going to make? Look, there was one experiment that was done, which Mike Murdock referred to once when he was talking about the power of the imagination. He reported a number of those experiences. And he said that he found out that, you know, what you have imagined to do, all right, is as good as if you're doing it. That is, they had two groups of people practice how to take, you know, what they call shots in a basketball. You watch basketball. You stay here and throw ball into a small basket, very far away from you. The best people are making shots. In fact, how you become the best is that you keep taking the shots. You keep taking the shots. The more you take, the better you become. So this is an experiment. It has some people taking their shots physically and has some people lying down, imagining taking their shots. So when everybody's practicing, they just lie down and close their eyes and start taking the shots in their mind. Okay? No, they kept on trying in their mind. Then one day they put everybody together and found out that those who did use their imagination were just as good as those who were doing it physically. It's called the preparation of the gospel of peace. Do you follow the point I'm making? Very crucial. Very crucial. Because you see, what I said something earlier, let me emphasize it again. There's nothing, okay, that Jesus will achieve on this earth that he will not achieve through you and me. And when the angels ask me, what if they don't do it? He said, I have no other plan. In fact, it turns out that that's what it became my main message for today. For us to understand that matter of responsibility. I was saying something, let me quickly finish it also. That people outside, both the devil and the world, they plot. When they want to fight against their enemies, they are plotting what they will do against their enemies. But do you know what the believer does? He plots what he will do to himself. And that's what gives him the strength against his enemy. I'm coming to something. You know why? Because Satan plays dirty. You know, the Christians actually don't play dirty. They are pointed by they don't play dirty. You know, I don't know how many of you followed the last American election. Now, there are different ways you get people to vote for you. You try to win the election. You either get people to vote for you, or you get them not to vote for your opponent. You know, at the end of the day, it's the same thing. You either vote for me because I'm good, or you vote for me because he's bad. So different people play their policies differently. Some, they start campaigning, start trying to dig up dirt in the life of the other person. He's bad. He's this. Nothing good about him. Some people say, no. That's the way Bill Clinton is on that time, if I'm correct. And the same thing Barack Obama did. I'm not going to campaign about what's bad in your life. I'm going to campaign about what is good in mine. So that you can vote for me. Do you get my point? Let everybody vote for me when they see what is good in my own. Now, I want to talk about the devil. You know, he has nothing to say to preach to anybody. So what he does is to dig up what is wrong in your life when he wants to fight against you. And you know the interesting part? This is a spiritual battle. It works. If he finds something to dig, believe me, the guy knows how to play the game. He doesn't campaign to everybody. He goes before the courts of God and begin to make accusation. You hear what I said? That's why he's called the accuser of the brethren. Now, what I want to say is very crucial. Listen, let me use this American political system as a very good example. Because Nigerian political system is not an example at all. In American system, only God can physically show up, okay, and make you any political figure if you have a criminal record. I'm telling you, it's that bad. That is, if you are planning to be president one day, from now, you start doing all the good works. That is, you start avoiding all the bad works. In fact, it's more important you don't do bad works than it is that you do good works. Because one day, when it now remains only you and your opponent, they will try and dig everything possible to discredit you. Now, what I'm saying so is that I want us to understand the principle. That's how Satan fights also. That's why Jesus said, if you read that John chapter 14, he said, the prince of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. What that means is this. He has found no occasion to accuse me before the Father. What that means is this. He can't place his hand upon me and retard my progress. Whatever I have set my mind to do, I can do it, and he cannot stand as a stumbling block. There's nothing he can do about me. Why? Because he has nothing that he can call his own in me. Do you get what I'm going to explain? Listen, this thing I'm saying is very important. Today I was meditating about, I bought the recent Economist, and they were analyzing the global meltdown and all of that. So I was thinking about it again. About grabbing, you know, let me put it like this. I want to explain something. There are different ways to make money in life. And one way Christians are forbidden from using is a quick way. Did I hear an amen? There is no quick way to becoming rich for the believer. Shall I say it again? You cannot even give enough offerings into an overnight breakthrough. There's no quick way. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying this. There are schemes in this world. Let me give you an example. One of the things that people have approached me with all kinds of schemes, or my wife and all of that. Once I see, say, pyramid scheme, you know they call it a pyramid scheme? Like Americans call it a Ponzi scheme. This is a pyramid scheme. Give me 5,000 naira. At the end of 2 months, you get 15,000. And then I send it to everybody. You've seen such things before. Umana, umana, and stuff like that. All right? In Benin, we used to have what they call plan well, money tree. We had it those days. Those days, it was give us 400 naira. I was a student. 400 naira was big. And at the end of 2 months, we got 1,200 or so. If you give us that one, at the end of 2 months, you get 3,600. So they were kind of tripling your money every 60 days. Now, pyramid schemes are simple. For those who don't know, they don't know how it works. They think that this is God's answer. There were churches actually who put their money hoping to build their church building at the end of 2 months. All kinds of things. One of my friends that time, he said, look, bank, if we put this amount of money, after 2 months we get this, we'll do that. He said, by December, we'll buy a V-boot. I remember very well. That was a joke those days. By December, we'll buy a V-boot. It was our joke. By December, we'll buy a V-boot. Now, the simple thing is that when at the end of 2 months I give you your money, you will tell your friends, look at it, it works. So they bring their money. That gives me the money to give the people who paid before them. So the problem is, after some time, it gets so big, there's no new person coming. And the first time I default, that's it, the whole thing collapses. And those who really lose are the last set of people to put in their money. The man who organized it never loses a dime. Because as the thing is coming, he's skimming his own off. All right? That's what Bernard Madoff did to Americans. We're all over the world, mostly America and Europe. And $65 billion went with him. All right? Now, this is the point I'm making. So those who have the understanding, they say, go in early. Now, please, this is my message. The other one, I just to introduce something. They say, go in early and come out early. Do you get my point? So, if you calculate it, a typical pyramid scheme like that operating in Nigeria will probably last about 18 months, between 12 and 24 months. It won't last beyond maybe by 18 months. So you know, when they start, you test whether they are real. When you find that they are real, put all the money you can. And after a few months, you pull out completely. Or as you are putting money in, you'll be raking some on the side. Don't get greedy. You know, sounds sensible, right? So at the end of 12 months, you pull out. That's what sensible people say. But you know what they don't understand? It's not the money. It is the spirit. Once you go in with your eyes open, Satan has planted his own in you. You can pull out, he doesn't complain. Go ahead and explain how smart you are, no trouble. But one day you are going to start your own company. One day you are going to reach out for great investments. One day you are going to try to do something good, and he's going to appear before the throne of God. Say, that guy is a crook. What did he say? That guy is a crook. 5 years ago, you were there. He made 20 million naira. in 12 months. Doing what? Participating knowingly in a pyramid scheme. All the cries of those who they think collapsed on, they are against him also. Look, listen. Let me tell you something about righteousness. There is no way on earth you will prosper persistently as a believer if righteousness is not your first watchword. What I mean is that no matter how good the gain looks, once it looks unrighteous, say, I know they do. In 2 months, you will buy this car, say, I go trek. Ah, what are you wasting time? Look, you got to be sharp. I say, I know they do. There was one that, well, some of our friends and somebody that we know, big people, some of them, tried to sell to my wife first, and they told me about it. And the first question is that, okay, for all these promises, where is the money coming from? And people tried to explain. I said, no. This is a pyramid scheme. One man was marketing it to me, actually showed me checks. 1 million naira, 900,000 naira. This guy is paying him about 900,000 to 1 million naira every month. I told my wife, it's still a pyramid scheme. Listen, let me tell you something. If you know something is wrong, don't sharply take advantage of it. I don't know whether you get my point. If it is wrong, don't quickly take advantage of it. And if an adventure you have in the past, you have to go and confess. And go and repent. I'm explaining something. This is how we overcome. Not by plotting against the devil. How to take over his company. No! You find an unbeliever. Ah, this man is a cult member. He has taken over. He's the one controlling all this part of Nigeria. He telecoms. This one. Manufacturing. Don't worry about him. He's not your problem. The Bible says your weapon, your war is not against flesh and blood. It's not your problem. All God will say is, when I open the door, are you going to do your own banking like this? There's one bank. Somebody was mentioning, we're discussing. They said this sale of Forex to BTA, for those who are traveling, they have stopped one particular bank from participating. I said, this bank, listen, that I'm just talking like a man who has basic understanding. Some of the big banks in Nigeria said they are going to collapse one day unless they remove it from the hands of these boys, these sharp boys. Because there's no how. God cannot just stomach it forever. Why is every good thing, you guys who are supposed to be the custodians of moving the economy forward, are the ones that take advantage of it for your own personal benefit? Let me not digress. This is what I'm making. This is how God elevates the believer. You discover those things and say, no, I'm not going to do. And you know, one thing I've explained to you. In life, Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. The fact is that it doesn't. You know what that means? Literally, you don't need anything. Having food and raiment, be content. Believe me, anything you want to do in life, even if it's business you want to do, start with that. The fact is that I don't need anything. Whether I have this big company or have a small one. Remember my story about the man who said, what do you think I'm doing now? Do all of this, then you become rich like me. Then you can really enjoy life. The man said, what do you think I'm doing where I am right now? I have less ulcers than you have. You big man who claim you are enjoying life. You can take your holiday all over the world. Believe me, under this coconut tree in front of my house, there are more Holy Spirits with me than you can ever see in angels all over the world that you are going. So please, get that one in mind. Bear it in mind. I'm explaining something here. This is how Christians, and this is the place where you do your serious defending. Very crucial. You do your serious defending here. It is personal. Ensure that Satan has nothing in you. You know what I found out? Talking about that, you know, we have different weapons. We've talked briefly about shield of faith. I've mentioned a few things about the sword of the spirit. Now, today I've talked about the sandals on your feet, all right? But there's something about that weapon. It's when you talk about the breastplate of righteousness. That's what I'm talking about now. The breastplate of righteousness. You know, those days when I was learning it, we were taught that righteousness is by faith in Christ. Amen? That's true. But always try and read things in context. One, he's writing to believers who have believed. He's not talking about faith because he said the shield is of what? Faith. Let me tell you the truth. When you use the word righteousness like that in the Bible, he's talking about works. He that doeth righteously, John said, is what? Is righteous. Look, go and read that 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, as it is written, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. What was he saying? The act of giving to the poor is the act of righteousness. Are you getting my point? Do you follow the point I'm making? So when he talks about the breastplate of righteousness, he's not talking about the fact that you have believed in the Lord Jesus. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the real active doing of that which is right. Because when men don't do that, that is what Satan uses to defeat them. Remember the story we have told. It's not told expressed like that until you get down to Revelation. About Balaam and Balak. Balaam came. Now, please, let me tell you the story of Balaam again. A lot of Christians don't understand who Balaam was. Balaam was a seasoned, let me first use the word prophet before I tell you the meaning of his own prophetic office. He was a man that had resource to show. A king who sent for you several times, promising more reward if he didn't have a real, do you get my point? Experience. If he didn't have something tangible to show that you were effective. Balaam was effective. He was a man who knew the things of the spirit. He used to talk to God. I mean, you read in the scriptures. God used to talk to him. He wasn't an Israelite kind of prophet. In his village, they thought he was just a normal Dibia. If he was Yoruba man, he was an Ifa priest. That's what he was. But he knew how to hear God's voice. He knew he was a good diviner. The guy was good at his job. And he knew divine principles. So he said simply to Balak, anyone that God doesn't curse, I can't curse. As I this is one I see small people saying that which they worry about. Go and meet Balaam. He has said it before. Anyone that God doesn't curse, no witch can curse. That is Balaam. Say, forget all of those things. Oh. The reason why these witches are effective against you, say yourself, God is against you every day. He says straight to Balak, let me summarize the whole story. And you know how it is. He did everything he knew. Okay, let me see Clara. Oh yeah, offer 7 bullocks and 7 this. And okay, bring me an altar. Let's go to another angle. He tried everything. He said, look, Balak, I don't know why we're wasting time. You know, before we came, I warned you. But there was something that most of us didn't know he did. By the time he found it wasn't working, he called Balak aside. And said, let me tell you. You know the way this thing works? These people are in league with their God. He's a God of righteousness. So you know what we're going to do? You have to break that link. He said, how do we do it? He said, you don't know about it. It's called the pleasures of all men. According to Solomon, many concubines. Send the girls in. It was Balak's counsel. It was Balaam's counsel. Because he understood spiritual things. So he told Balak, this is what you do. That was what brought the Midianite women into the camp. That was what brought a plague upon Israel. And if God and people like Moses and Phinehas had not intervened, Balak would have wiped them out. That's why Paul talked about the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Let me tell you now, I've been saying this thing again and again. If you are going for anything great in life, the first thing you do is to consecrate yourself to righteousness before you are exposed to the evil there. Take the Nigerian political sector as an example. Believe me, people say that politics is dirty. You know why they say it? Because the depth of the occult some of these men practice is frightening. It is frightening. One of my colleagues, I saw him today, he has a friend who's a politician. He said one day the man told him that when he looks at his wife and his children, he feels bad. He's afraid for them. He said because he has a strong feeling that one day he's going to die suddenly. That the problem is actually is not that he's going to die. That he doesn't even know which one of the oaths that he took that will kill him. So when he looks at his wife and his children, he just starts feeling bad. Why did I put them into this kind of jeopardy? That he has taken all kinds of oaths. That he knows that some oaths have clashed. That is, there are oaths that say don't eat at 12 midnight. And there are some that say you can only eat at 12 midnight. And he will have even forgotten he took the first one. And he'll go into the other one. And that now he's thoroughly confused. He knows that one day one is going to kill him. And so he looked at his wife and the children, and he's feeling sorry for them ahead of time. Believe me, brethren, this happens. That's why men go near and they run. Let me give you another commandment today. If God calls you, for example, by through many events and through many words, that's your field. If you run, you die faster. No, let me explain it to you again. You move close. You want to start, and people start scaring you that, did they go? Did they go shrine? Did they do this one? You know they go shrine. They will do this one to you. If you pull back because they are going to shrine, you will die faster. That is, no, get what I'm trying to say. That is the shortest, that's the fastest route to the grave. Because God said, don't be in dread of what these people are in dread of. Neither fear you their fears. He said, let the Lord alone be your fear and your dread. He told Jeremiah, if you are afraid before them, I will disgrace you before them. So this is the job. I told you that life, this Christianity is not God. New shirt. Listen, it's real warfare, I'm telling you. That's why in life, don't ever feel sorry for yourself. When my friends were going to America that time, I should have gone. No? Listen, you know what Paul said to Timothy? No soldier entangles himself with the affairs of this world. That is not a joke. You start setting dates for, I'm supposed to buy this car by December. Therefore, God, listen, you will buy cars, you will tire. Amen? Forget the December date, however. There are those who God say, if you don't track for another 5 years, you won't learn any lesson. So, better go and buy nice shoes, strong rubber soles, kakarodos. Yes, because your lesson must be complete. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Because, listen, God said you mustn't be afraid. But I'm bringing that as an issue. When you're about to step in, you make your consecration. Because you know what Satan does? He tries to scare you. He will come with all kinds of stories. One day, a bullet will whiz past, phew, beside your ear. I'm telling you, and they'll tell you that, you see, we almost got you. You know the fact they couldn't. If they could, they would have done it that day. Death is not an accident. They couldn't get you. That's why they didn't get you. So they use all things to scare you and say, yeah, this is the only way out of this thing. Just sign these documents and promise that this portion of this money will come to us whether we do anything or not. Once you put your signature there, Satan says, fine. It goes before the throne of God. Say, you know that guy can't do well as a governor. Because why not? See his signature. See his signature. And God looks at another embarrassment. Say, Satan, I hear. Okay, remove him as governor. Because let him not embarrass me further. What am I saying? The reason why we have not been able to war effectively for God is because actually we have not worn our armor well. That's why. Satan is not powerful. Satan is not as powerful as people try to make him. We have overcome. We are of God. What we need to do is maintain. Today I've talked about two things. That's feet. All right? Wearing the proper shoes. The preparation of the gospel of peace. And the breastplate of righteousness.